Well, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great.
Hey, so this is going to be really fun. I've got Brandy Meeks with me today from the Vitae Foundation, and we are going to have a great morning show. So again, great to see each of you who are joining us this morning, wherever you're watching us live from. We're really excited to be with you this Friday, each and every Friday. This is a little different. We don't normally have our guest on the show right at the top of the morning, but we're going to do things a little differently today. So Brandy, good to see you. How are you doing this morning?
Good to see you as well. Doing great. Doing great. It's Friday, right? So it's been a long week, lots of stuff going on in the movement, but excited to be able to visit with you today and be able to update everyone, right? Because it's important that we all understand exactly what we're facing each and every week, because it's changing every single day, right? By the hour. Yeah.
It sure is. It seems like it just constantly, the only constant is change, right? So we have to be prepared. We have to be able to adjust to each and every one of those changes and new announcements and new directions that we need to go in. So again, it's great to have you this morning, Brandy, and to all of you in our audience today. Again, good morning and welcome to Wake Up to Life with Lauren and Nate. I am Nate Robertson, Vice President of Sidewalk Advocates for Life, and Brandy's joining us today from the Vitae Foundation. You know, it's such a great joy for us to be with you today and each and every Friday as we talk about what's going on in the pro-life world and how we, each and every one of us, can help to continue to change hearts and minds on this most important issue of our times, the cause for life. Brandy, anything to add to that just before we open in prayer?
No, I would just, again, when you talk about changing hearts and minds, like that's what we're here to do, right? It's so much bigger than policies and procedures and all of that. Like this is truly a cultural issue. And to get to the heart of the matter, we have to work together to do that. And we have to do that with wisdom and step out in courage. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, 100%. Thanks again so much for being with us, Brandy. And now I'm going to open us in a word of prayer, and then we'll jump right into our headline of the week, if you'd pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this great opportunity for us to join together this morning. Thank you for what you're doing across the pro-life, pro-love movement. And we just ask that you would continue to guide, lead, and direct us as we continue to walk this path of helping our culture to understand the value of life more. This morning, God, we ask that you would be with sidewalk advocates across America who are on sidewalks of abortion facilities, that you would give them wisdom and guidance of what to say, when to say, and how to say. That you'd continue to guide them in their prayerful approaches as they reach out to men and women who are in great need. God, we thank you for our pregnancy help partners and those who are working across the movement to continue to help women and men and families in need. And we just pray that you'd continue to protect them, guide them, and lead them. God, I pray that you'd bless our time together this morning, that you would allow us just to continue to think deeply on the issues that are affecting our culture. And be able to be aware of the many strategies that have to be in place right now as we continue to move our culture forward in a post-Roe society. God, we just pray that you'd bless our time again this morning, and we continue to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, so right now, we're going to go ahead and go into our pro-life headline of the week. And that is something that many of you have probably heard of throughout the week. The Arizona State Supreme Court upholds law punishing abortionists as unlimited abortion ballot battle rages. The Arizona Supreme Court ruled on Monday that the state's 1864 statutory ban on abortion, blocked as a result of Roe v. Wade, was triggered and reestablished by Roe's demise. The opinion clarified that prior to Roe's overturn, the rights of the unborn child were limited only by the federal constitution and the Supreme Court's interpretation of it. As a result, the near total ban takes precedence over the state's previously enforced 15-week gestational ban. Abortion is now illegal in the state of Arizona, except in cases of medical emergencies. The Arizona State Supreme Court said, quote, "In light of this opinion, physicians are now on notice that all abortions, except those necessary to save a woman's life, are illegal," end quote. The law carries 2 to 5 years in prison for anyone who provides an abortion or the means for an abortion. It will be enforceable 14 days from the date the opinion was filed. Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays claimed she would refuse to enforce it on any woman or doctor. But Warner said county prosecutors could. Tuesday's decision is a decisive victory for the pro-life movement, but the fight for life in abortion is definitely not over. Neither is the fight over abortion. Not only do abortion giants in Arizona have just less than 2 weeks until the ruling becomes enforceable to sue over the law, but abortion activists are leading a ballot initiative that, if passed on November 5th, would effectively enshrine unlimited abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy in the state constitution, not unlike the ballot initiatives we have seen in many states, where all of them so far have passed for the pro-abortion movement. The proposed amendment, which will likely be on the ballot in the next election, uses vague language and undefined terms that allow for on-demand abortion for anyone subjectively deemed at risk by a medical professional. It would also bar the state from punishing abortionists like the recently upheld law requires, and it would open the door to taxpayer funding on abortion. You know, this is a very interesting development that has happened in the state of Arizona. There are a lot of complexities to what the Arizona State Supreme Court has done in upholding this 1864 law. It is undoubtedly firing up the abortion lobby because of it being such an old law that has been upheld, and with the conflict in state government of many of the state officials saying that they will not enforce this law and even speaking out against the Arizona Supreme Court very strongly. So this is going to set up a very, I would say, contentious battle over the next several months in the state of Arizona as we move towards November. And it's a really interesting situation with the way in which the Supreme Court came to this decision, how they are putting a law into effect that is from the 1800s. And it may be one of the oldest laws regarding life or abortion that is in effect today in America. So, Brandy, I'd love your thoughts on this situation and how it impacts the abortion lobby's desire and attempt to continue to enshrine abortion in state constitutions, and right now, specifically Arizona's.
Well, obviously, it's a win for women and babies whenever lives are prevented to be lost like this, right? And so grateful that people are fighting for life. But you are right, when it fires up the other side and it gives them the opportunity to basically set some flames on emotions for people that feel like, especially when you hear the word ban, it immediately starts to make people tense up. And that's what our research has shown, right? And so the word ban, that's why the other side uses it so boldly. I know for us, we feel like it's a victory. So ban doesn't feel uncomfortable in some ways, but on the other side, they know that that is a trigger word for people. So anytime you see any of their shirts when they're out collecting signatures in the abortion ban, right? Like, they're not even talking about Roe anymore. They're talking about abortion bans. And so just something to keep in mind that they're going to use this in a way that they want to gain momentum even more than what they've had. And we need to be conscientious of that. And we need to be ready for that battle. We are not just seeing it in Arizona. Like you said, there are several other states. We've seen it in 7 states up until now that have lost ballot initiatives. We're going to continue seeing it. I believe that they're, I can't remember if there's up to 10 maybe right now that might be facing it throughout the country. We're seeing it here in Missouri as well. But the most important thing that we have to remember is that this is a culture war, right? Yeah. This is bigger than ballot issues and old laws that are being enforced now. This is a culture war, and we have to do what we can in order to really bring truth to the forefront, but do it in a loving way with wisdom. And that's where we need to do a better job in this movement of understanding how to communicate that to our circles of influence, essentially.
And I so love that. You know, the reality that it's so critical that we be attacking this with wisdom, with compassion, with the right messaging, right? Being really intentional on how we're talking about these things and how we are helping people to see really what is at stake. You know, I agree with you. That word ban is definitely a trigger word, right? It is something that makes people feel fired up, because what is America after all? America is the land of the free, right? People want to talk about their freedoms. People want to talk about what they are allowed to do, right? I can do whatever I want, right? In some ways, that's how a lot of people feel about the American life. And so we do have to be aware and be very cognizant and thinking about the way that we use our terminology and how that terminology is being used by others around us, and how we position our messages to make sure that people are not getting this ability to twist it, but that it's very clear, right? It's very clear. It's very concise. It helps people to see the root of the issue and doesn't allow people to go all these other directions with these ambiguities and making up their own storyline because it's not clear. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, part of it too is with the communication is not being dismissive of other people's experiences, right? And so understanding that, like you said, some of those are trigger words for people. They feel them deep within themselves. Our research at Vitae Foundation is different than typical research. Our research is emotional research, where we actually dig in beyond what, you know, people give surface level answers for why they do what they do all day long. But our research involves emotional research that with interviews that allow us to get to the heart of the matter truly, and beyond just the surface level answers, to understand what emotional motivators, right, really prompt them to make decisions. And so yeah. I think it's important, again, that we are not dismissive of the fact that there are trigger words that are out there for them. And then additionally, what some of these extreme situations that they like to bring up, okay, let's talk about them, right? Let's talk about them. Let's talk about health of the mother and life of the mother, but let's explain to them. It seems to be the number one thing that people come at me with anytime I tell them the line of work I'm in. And to disarm them and not be dismissive. So love them enough to tell them the truth. The way that I approach that with them is I you know, explain to them that there are two patients whenever you have a health of the mother, right, a life of the mother situation, right? And that in this situation, if you are going to save the life of the mother, you do not have to purposely end the life of the preborn child in order to do that through an abortion. You can deliver the baby safely, deliver life-saving measures to the baby, and still save the life of the mother. This is just one example of trying to correct the misinformation that is out there, that we can do this in a way that's not dismissive, that meets them where they're at, and utilizes an understanding of their emotional motivators on why they are so adamant about wanting to give women choice, right? Because maybe that's what they've been fed by the other side. So I just think, again, that's just important to remember, is not be dismissive whenever they're coming at us with all of this information, especially when the fires are hot with what's going on in Arizona and the states throughout the country. It's essential that we remember that we need to be able to communicate with them effectively. And that's just an example of that.
It's so important, right? When we talk with people in any situation, being willing to acknowledge what they're feeling, what they're thinking, right? Not dismissing their rationale, right? Even when we have completely different beliefs about what they're saying, the first step to really being able to have a civil conversation with anybody is acknowledging where they're coming from, acknowledging what their perspective is. So I love this conversation. I'm really excited for us to continue this conversation. Again, if you're just joining us, I have with me today Brandi Meeks from the Vitae Foundation. And Brandi, I just wanted you to catch people up if they're not really aware of what you are doing and what Vitae is doing. Could you just give us a little bit about what Vitae does and the important place that Vitae has in our culture right now? And then we'll go into some more questions.
Sure. And thank you for that opportunity. So Vitae Foundation has been in existence for about 30 years, and we facilitate research about life-saving issues and then use the findings that we have, that we determine from those research projects. And we've had 11 now. We turn those findings into messaging strategies that then we share within our circles of influence, which includes the pro-life movement, other groups like wonderful groups like Cyborg Advocates for Life that are able to use those messaging strategies and their own missions that they have and their own unique missions. And also for us to be able to help the public understand, again, how to communicate about this issue so that together we can build a future where abortion is truly unthinkable. You're showing our website right now. It's a great place to be able to understand more about the steps and stages of our research and then also how to get involved. We have something also called the Vitae Research Institute, which allows you to have hands-on tips and tricks on how to communicate about things. Like I said, the hard cases are one of them. A lot of things that are thrown at us a lot of times. We also have homilies and sermon guides available. We have information for pregnancy centers. We truly try to bring this research to anyone who can use it in an effective manner to help save more women and babies from abortion. That's why we do what we do.
Yeah, I love it. I'm just such a huge fan. So, you know, we talk a lot about Vitae's extensive research. We talk a lot about Right Brain Research. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Right Brain Research and why it monumentally matters in the abortion battle today?
Sure. So when you think of research and you think of issues like abortion, most of the time you think about polling and surveying, trying to understand, okay, is the needle moving on different issues, on how people are voting, that sort of thing. But for us, again, I mentioned this earlier, but we want to get to the heart of the matter. We want to understand why they make the decisions that they do, what emotional motivators drive those decisions. So that then we can examine that and we can help eliminate some of those barriers that they have experienced. So for example, we have a study that that goes back several years, and it's probably a good point for me to insert that because emotional research is different than other types of research, it's actually a blend of quantitative and qualitative research, but it doesn't change when other factors like time or culture, other variables insert themselves in. Emotional research is different because emotional motivators don't change over time. Fear is still fear today as it was in 1890, right? Fear is fear. And so maybe what causes the fear looks differently. That's what we examine, right? But ultimately, fear is an emotional motivator that doesn't change over time. So that does mean that even our studies that were done 20, 25 years ago are still as valid today as they were back then. So one of those studies was a study about abortion being the least of the three evils, and the three evils being in a woman's mind, she's thinking about abortion, she's thinking about adoption, and she's thinking about parenting. And you might say, "Woo, abortion, least of the three evils." But in her case, when a woman is finding out that she's pregnant and does not want to be, in many cases in her mind, because of the motivation of fear and guilt and shame, she will choose abortion as an option because she thinks that that is the best option of those three options. And so we have to examine that. And we have been doing that, right, for decades now. And so we can understand how to communicate with her. And essentially what we've learned, and you guys utilize this on the sidewalk, as we talk to her about her, right? We very much love the child that she's carrying, but we have to start with her. And so this is just an example of our research and how we've been able to apply it, again, within our circles of influence within the pro-life movement. We've talked with pregnancy centers about it frequently, and also supporters. It's important for our donors and supporters to understand. It might seem counterintuitive for those of us that have grown up in the pro-life world or space or had pro-life values instilled in us as kids. But it is important for us to understand that in order to connect with a woman who is experiencing this, we have to make sure we're speaking her language. And so this is one example of that. We also have studies on things like abortion healing. That's one of our most recent studies. And abortion pill reversal, which is kind of this new-ish option for women that have taken the abortion pill and then have changed their mind. And we are working to figure out how to reach them with messages of hope so that they can make that choice and have that choice available to them. The other side wants to quiet us. Let me tell you, they want to take that choice away, which kind of blows my mind, right? Because if you're truly about choice, wouldn't you really want to give women all the choices? Right. But we both know differently.
Yeah, we know how this works and we know what their really desire is. And, you know, I think when you talk about abortion bill reversal, and it's a topic that we talk about so much and we love talking about, it's so interesting how viciously they attack abortion bill reversal as junk science, when literally it's just adding just progesterone.
Progesterone. we want to make shirts that just say just progesterone, right? It's just progesterone. It's a natural hormone. Like, you got chemical abortion pills that you're dumping into your body, right? But you're afraid about just progesterone. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't get me started, Nate.
Well, I mean, we could both go round and round on that one for sure. You know, I think it's so important how you lay out and the understanding of the Vitae Foundation's pivotal research and how we have to understand where she's coming from. We cannot save these children. We cannot help her to change her circumstance. We cannot see her elevate her life in the days ahead without being able to get to what she's dealing with right now. You know, it's just so pivotal about how we must step outside. And this is what I really try to encourage people so much. We have to step outside of ourselves as a pro-life person and look at the situation that she's dealing with from the perspective of someone who really legitimately feels that she has no other option or feels trapped or feels like there's so much pressure on her that she couldn't even imagine thinking about the child, right? And that necessity really to unpack that, I think has changed the sidewalk. And it's something that we've really focused on in changing what the sidewalk looks like to make sure that our messaging is so intentionally focused at her. And not really, unfortunately, not convoluted with the other things that may be associated to abortion and the horrible plight it is on our communities, right? But we have to be careful about how are we messaging her? How are we getting to her heart? Because the Vitae Foundation tells us that's really the only way to win the battle.
It is. It is. And even beyond that, it's also about reaching her own circle of influence, right? I know I use that term a lot, but also remembering that we have incredible power to change the culture, each of us, right? And whether that be on the sidewalk or outside our churches or inside our churches or at the store or, you know, at coffee with a friend, we have that power in each of us. And that is actually based in courage. We have to, again, we have to love people enough to tell them the truth about this issue. And so sometimes that looks like encouraging the woman on the sidewalk who is lost and confused and feels like this is her only option. And sometimes it's telling your friend the truth about what is happening in our government so that they can understand not to sign on to a petition, right? But we each have a calling, and it's important that we do it with compassion and with wisdom and walk that out with compassion and wisdom, because that is how we're going to change hearts and minds. And that's what you guys get so well. And I'm so grateful for that, because it's not, we know we have truth on our side, but it's all in how we deliver it. Right? It's all in how we deliver that message. And we have to prepare for that, because when you're in the heat of the moment, do we have time for a quick story?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So I went to the Supreme Court a couple of weeks ago to speak about the what's going on with the FDA case right now and the abortion pill. And I will tell you, that's a different style of speaking for me, because people are screaming at you, right? It's loud, and you're having to be louder, right? So people can hear you. I was sharing about my own miscarriage cases that I've had. And so it was already a vulnerable moment, pretty fired up, right? So I'm delivering that message. Well, I come home from that trip. And again, still kind of, I'm a little passionate. I don't know if anybody's picked up on that yet, just a little bit. But so I come home from that trip, and my daughter and I were going to go shop, because she loves TJ Maxx, right? Like, it seems like we're there like maybe once, twice. I would like to say a week, but maybe a day. But we have the signature gatherers that have been out in front of that store, and they have constantly been done the other things, like the gambling thing that they're trying to get past in Missouri, minimum wage. So I'm so used to that being what they're trying to get us to sign on to. we were walking by and these two young men were saying, "Hi, are you a registered voter in the state of Missouri?" I'm like, "Yes, but no, thank you." Right. And we keep on walking. And he says, "Ma'am, it's about women's rights." And I spun around, right? Because I was like, okay. And he said, "Oh, that'll get you to turn around, won't it?" And I'm like, "Yes, yes, it will." He has no idea why yet, but yes, it will. Because my daughter is like holding my arm, right, at this point, because she's like, "Mom," she's trying to hold me back. Because again, I've been pretty fiery through the week. We've talked about a lot of things, and so she's like, "Are you going to talk to them?" I said, "Yeah." And I asked them. I said, "Okay, so can you explain to me like what you mean, women's rights?" "Well, we're here to end the abortion ban," and okay, again, they're using the words, wow, right? Because we want to give women the right to choose. And, you know, I let him continue talking and I said, "You know, I would like to talk to you about that a little bit." I will tell you in that moment, and this is why I was saying, like, be prepared. I wanted to be fiery and, kind of come right back at him, because he had kind of come at me a little bit, to thinking that he had won me over, right? That'll get you to turn around, lady, right? Like with the women's right.
Yeah.
But I took a minute, I paused, and instead I started talking to him and the person, the guy that was with them, about human rights. And I explained to them that for me, this is a human rights issue. And I said that no one deserves to have less or more value placed on their lives based on their size and location, based on who they are as a person. We'd actually done that before in history, and that didn't work out real well for us because it was wrong then and it's wrong now. And that I would just encourage them. I asked them, I said, "Have you read what's in that petition?" Both of them shook their head no. And I said, "So you would like for me to sign something that you haven't even read, right?" I said, "That's where my struggle is." Now, the one man who had gotten me to turn around said, "Ma'am, I hear your opinion, but I don't want to hear it anymore." I said, "Wow. Okay, right?" But the other young man that was standing beside him was truly processing it and taking it in. I could see he locked eyes with me. He was thinking about it. And that's one of our taglines, is "Think about it" at Vitae Foundation, that we use in a lot of our messaging. Because he was starting to have a little bit of cognitive dissonance, right? He's starting to think about this and, "Man, ooh, I don't really know how I feel about that. You're right. If this situation over here, how does it apply to this situation over here? That seems a little inconsistent." And so I just explained to them, I said, "You know, guys, I live this day in and day out. And I know you probably don't, and that's okay." Right. Again, trying to affirm something in them, trying to not talk down to them. And I said, "But I would just caution you that there are some things that are in that petition that are not consistent with what they are telling you to explain it to us as. And I just want you to understand that. That's it. And I hope you have a great day." We turned around to walk off. My daughter was actually kind of tugging me at that point, because she was wondering, like, what else am I possibly going to say? Right. But my point of all that is that in that moment, if I had not prepared and didn't have Vitae research basically seeping through my veins, it might have been really easy to have responded with something that would have just rolled right off my tongue. It might have been sharp, but it might have been truthful. It might have been completely accurate, right? But would it have made a difference? Hands down, no, right? Is it possible that I may have moved the needle on one of those guys' hearts? I would say possible. Is it 100%? No, absolutely not, right? That guy could have just been softened up, or maybe I just intimidated him. I don't know. But for sure, we had an opportunity and we had a chance to do it. So I would just encourage people to think about what they would do, what they would say if they were given the opportunity to see a petition gatherer or a signature gatherer, or somebody that maybe they have a relationship with someone. Someone was telling me the other day about they had with a brother-in-law, and they had really wanted to talk about this issue, but hadn't figured out how to talk about it yet. Find the ways to be able to affirm their passion, affirm the fact that they feel like they're trying to do the right thing for women, but help them understand, again, love them enough to tell them the truth, to help them understand how that's just not the case. Whether that be a health of the mother, life of the mother exception that they're throwing out there, like I mentioned earlier, maybe it's not reading the petition that they want you to sign, right? Yeah. Like, it's mind blowing. But find something in someone so that you can affirm and you can have those open and honest conversations, but prepare, because otherwise you might be like me, right? Where you might not go the route of doing the wise thing if you're not ready to have those conversations. So that would just be that'd be my tip for the week for you, Nate. You didn't ask for it.
Man, that was so good. It was so good. And it's just, it's so, so important right now in this moment, right? We are in a very different world than we were before Roe fell. And we need to continue to acknowledge that. We're in a very different world right now because they are attempting to enshrine abortion in state constitutions across America. And right. We need to be aware, and people need to be prepared, like you're saying, and cautious in the way in which they talk about things, so that you don't just turn people off and they're like, nope, I won't even have this discussion. What you did in that moment, and what Vita Foundation continues to teach people to do through the research, is that you allowed the conversation to develop in a way that you were allowing there to be openness. You were able to bring his walls down to where at least they could listen to what you were saying. So it's so critically important. And it just is something that it continues to be important in the battles that we're facing today. Brandy, we've had such a great time, and I know our time's running short, but was there anything else that you really wanted to share with our audience about the cultural battles, especially as these initiatives continue to go across America? And then also remind people where they can find more about Vitae Foundation.
Sure. So first, you can go to our website. It's VITAE foundation.org. So that's, there you go. It's on the screen. That's Latin for life, for those of you that aren't familiar with that. So that's vitaefoundation.org. You can find all kinds of resources available on the website. You'll also find a link to Vitae Research Institute, where we have free downloadables, videos that you can go and access, again, so that you can be ready for your moment. What I would encourage you when you're talking about what else we might want to close with, you might not have a moment. You might have to make the moment, right? It might not naturally fall into your path. For some reason, it always does for me. I don't know how I feel about that all the time, but it does frequently. But you have to be careful to not eliminate the opportunities. I used to have a really bad habit, getting on every flight, popping in my AirPods and going, right? Because I was ready to just check out for a little bit. I don't do that anymore. I am ready and prepared to have the difficult conversations with people, even if they stump me sometimes, because right? It happens. I have to say, you know what? I don't know the answer to that, but I'm going to find it for you. Can I get your card? Right? And I'll follow up with it. You might not be jumping on a plane going all over the country. You might be crossing your neighborhood on a walk and run into someone. I'm just telling you, there are opportunities when you look for them. And if not, you need to be prayerful about how you can make those opportunities happen in your life, because it's going to take us to make this happen as a culture. We have to step out in courage. The time is now. It's not tomorrow. It's not yesterday. It's now. And we have to do it.
So good, Brandy. That was just so great. You know, just so important that we always remember that. We must take the opportunities, and we must at times make them. So again, thanks so much, Brandy. And this has been a show that's been so full of such incredible tips and stories that we're not going to do a separate tip and story, because we've been doing them this whole show. But I do want to close us with a scripture. And Brandy, if you're okay to stick around, just close us with a scripture and a reflection, and then a prayer before we close out the show today. So today I want to take you to John chapter 3, verse 34, which says, "For the one whom God sent speaks the words of God. He does not ration his gift of the Spirit." You know, and just the opportunity that we continue to acknowledge that God has sent us Jesus, and he has sent us the Holy Spirit to show us the way, to give us the gifts and to give us what we need, and to be open to allow God to use us in each and every way. God's desire is that we would be close to him, and that we would be his hands and feet in every situation, in every scenario, as we interact with those around us, as we've been talking about all morning. So this morning, I encourage you to read and meditate on John chapter 3, verse 34. Go ahead and read all of John chapter 3. It's such a powerful chapter that talks about Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus, and John 3:16 is just a few verses up from this verse. So I encourage you to take some time, spend some time reading the scriptures today, meditating, and some time in prayer as you consider how God is calling you to be more and more a part of his global plan to redeem all of mankind? How can you be involved in what God is doing all around you? How can you take the key opportunities and make the opportunities to be giving words of life, but always remembering that we message them in a way that brings people's walls down and allows people to be open to conversation, not in ways that make people feel as though we are chasing after them or condemning them or being in a way that they would be very defensive. How can we all continue to be those that offer words of life in everything that we do and do it in a way that is really the most able to reach the hearts? So with that, again, I encourage you on John chapter 3, and we're going to pray and then close out our show if you pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to be together again this Friday morning. We're just so grateful to be called by you, to be used by you. And we're so grateful to be able to have guests like Brandy Meeks on that can continue to help us unpack what is going on in our culture. How do we most effectively change hearts and minds on the most important issue of our times? How do we continue to show people the human rights nature of the life issue and how they can be a part of changing the culture around them? God, I pray again that you would bless our sidewalk advocates on sidewalks across America today, that you'd protect them, guide them, and lead them, that you'd be with all of those in the pregnancy help movement that are working today to make sure that women have all the information, all the options, and that they have the hope that they can continue their pregnancies. God, we pray for those who are also healing after abortion experiences, that you would help them, that you would encourage them to reach out to someone if they've not done so, so that they can receive the healing that they also need as they continue in their journey of life. God, we just thank you again for the Vitae Foundation and all that they're doing. We pray that you continue to bless Sidewalk Advocates for Life and all of those who are determined to be a part of the battle to increase the culture of life in America. We'll give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this has been a great, great show. Thanks, Brandy, again for joining me today on Waking to Life with Lauren and Nate. I hope that you have a great weekend. And all of you out there, we hope you have a great weekend and a great week. We'll see you again next Friday. Same time, same channel. Have a great week. See you, Brandy.
Bye, everyone. Bye. Take care.